Good morning, I'm Veronica Rickert, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. My guests today are members of a hard-working, hard-playing Minnesota string band called Pertnir Sandstone. Since 2004, they've recorded 5 full-length albums. The latest is called Paradise Hop. The band has toured across the U.S., performing with musical legends like Ralph Stanley, Del McCoury, and Wilco. Prairie Home Companions' Garrison Keillor has called Pert a force on the Minnesota roots music scene and beyond. Accompanied by an old-timey step dancer, or clogger, the band never fails to whip audiences into a frenzy with their rollicking blend of beautifully crafted bluegrass. They recently visited us in our Madison studios to share their music and ideas on how to have a foot-stomping good time. I began with the first question on lots of fans' minds: what's up with the name?
Now, my first guess was that one of you would be named Pert and another would be named Near, but I was totally wrong on that. So I'm out of guesses. Where does the name come from?
Well, Pert Near is just an old-timey expression, like Pert Near, pretty near.
Pretty
almost,
near.
Okay. Almost there. My grandpa actually always says Pert Near. And we kind of, as we started out turning kind of into an old-time band, we were like, well, we wanted to do something with our name to capture that a little bit. And it was just actually kind of a late evening before our first ever gig, and we needed to have some kind of name. So... So we went with Pertnir, and then decided Pertnir, it needed to be Pertnir something something. So we all live along the river of Minneapolis, St. Paul, and it's all big, tall sandstone bluffs. And it just seemed to make sense at the time. We've told many, many different stories about our name, like about sandstone, Minnesota. There's a prison there. We all met, you know, however.
But in prison.
In yeah. prison, and yeah, or escaped and started the bluegrass band.
Uh-huh.
Different aliases. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's generally, it's just Pertnir, pretty near.
Yeah, Adam's the only one that's actually been in prison in our band.
That's true, yeah. And people do just call us Pertnir, so I mean, it is kind of, you know, a little bit of a...
Pertnir.
Yeah, shortened.
Yeah, I like it.
Crows, they flock in twilight.
One of your greatest hits, Solid Gone.
Solid Gone.
And this is when Marika, my producer, and I were singing around the office. It's so contagious. It's beautiful. Tell us about Solid Gone.
I wrote the lyrics, I guess, on a van ride back from Duluth. Pertnir had played up in Duluth, and I stayed up there an extra day and sat in with the band, Hobo Nephews of Uncle Frank, who are some good friends of ours. We've known them for a long time. And the lyrics popped in my head on the way home along with this melody, and that there was a familiar melody. I couldn't quite put a finger on it, but I just kind of went with it. I went home, picked up the fiddle, and continued to write words for a while, and then realized I kind of searched my iPod trying to figure out where this melody was from and if I was, you know, writing a song, or if it turns out that I dug up an old traditional tune that was called Sally Ann, Old Time Sally Ann, and it's an old traditional tune. And of course, it came out a little differently in my mind, but I still like to reference, you know, the traditional melody. But I just kind of, the lyrics just clung to that, and I just kind of went with it, and Solid Gone happened. And we all liked it. It seemed to work really well with our group and orchestration, and decided to turn it into a music video and kind of use that as like a little bit of a flagship. So I like to think of it. I mean, I like that you're calling it a hit, but I have a hard time thinking that we have any hits.
We can call it a hit. We'll make it a hit now. I like that it's bittersweet. There's something about, I don't know, there's just like, it walks that sweet, poignant line with the melody, and the video captures that too. With you're working with the producer who did what, Calgary for Bon Iver?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It does have this sort of bittersweet, wistful feel. At the same time, it's joyous. And I don't know, is that what appealed to you about this?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's kind of the hook of the song, you could say. So I think I tried to, you know, capitalize on that a little bit in the material of the lyrics. And yeah, and it worked out really well with the video. The story that he wrote for the song ended up, you know, matching pretty well in a surrealistic sort of sense that I like.
Beautifully acted by Nate, too, also.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it was all beautiful. You all look so picturesque and just
it's movie magic.
Cinematic. Yeah. So I've never witnessed anyone making a video before. You said somebody, the producer, whose name I'm forgetting.
Brandon Boulay.
Mm-hmm. What was it?
Brandon Boulay.
Mm-hmm. He wrote a script or a story for this. Is that how it works? Someone comes up with a story idea and then you film it? And I mean, it's not a script because the song is the script, but I'm just, how does it get put together?
I'm sure it happens all sorts of ways. But for this particular instance, I know that our manager had been working a lot with Picture Machine Productions, which is a group that Brandon Boulay is connected to as well. And they had come up with a number of storyboards, and Mark really kind of liked the creativity that he brought to a lot of the stories on the Minnesota Beatles project that they were working on together. And he said, you know, I think he'd do a great job with this video for Solid Gone. Let's kind of, you know, give him a couple of ideas thematically and kind of see what he comes up with. And he came up with some really cool, both visual themes and the storyline was really great too. Yeah.
Yeah, it was at a time where we were touring a lot. We liked all of his ideas as we were seeing them filtered in. But we were also quite busy, so, you know, we weren't able to really get our hands into it and help him write it. So we just sort of ran with what he managed to put together. So it was going out to this park and filming it in segments, not very chronologically either. So yeah. When we finally saw the finished product, it kind of all made sense. And it was as exciting for us more exciting for us maybe than anyone watching it on the outside.
So was this filmed in Minnesota?
Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah, the Franconia Sculpture Garden.
Okay.
Near Taylor's Falls, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty near Wisconsin there as well.
Yeah. Gave her my last dollar, my last bottle of wine. If she's gonna leave me, it ain't for me not trying. That girl is gone, she's solid gone. She's solid gone, left me here alone. Liquor store, that girl is gone. She's solid gone. She's solid gone. Left me here alone. Grass is always greener on the other side. Where I'm sitting now, I'll never know why. That girl is gone. She's solid gone. And I don't care if she ever comes home.
Thank you.
Oh, that was great. That was great. Thank you so much. That's the song you got to listen all the way through to the end to get the twist there. I don't know. What is it called when everyone leans into the mic? Is there a name for that?
We just call it gang vocals. I don't know. But there's probably some more.
Yeah, I don't know what the name is either. But you don't each have your – you often just lean into the one mic, which I think is kind of a traditional way to do it.
Yeah.
But how did you learn how to sing harmony and to keep your pitch? And just, you know, because singing is tricky. Not everyone who sings or not everyone who plays can sing.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin was a choir boy. We still call him choir boy once in a while.
I don't sound much like a choir boy anymore. I'm
no,
sure.
I can. Yeah. That's
but sure. Yeah, I did take a lot of, you know, at least from a pitch perspective and, like, you know, really kind of understanding that side. You know, my ear is pretty trained in that respect. And Jay has just always been really easy for me to sing with. I don't know if it's because we're from the same hometown or something. We sound...
Yeah, know. We've just kind of, I don't know. We like when we were just jamming around campfires in high school and whatever, we just were singing back then. So
see, that's Jay there and this is me. And we sound almost indistinguishable, I'm sure.
Well, my voice is deeper and sexier, but...
Some might say that.
Some would say.
Some would.
All right, you can probably edit that out of there.
I think you bottomed out. All right. What about you, Nate? Where did you learn to sing?
I'm still learning to sing.
Yeah.
I learned from these guys probably and just in the car and yeah. Yeah. It's singing. I kind of focus on the plane singing something sort of that I just can add to the overall group dynamic of vocals. And occasionally there's a song I like to sing that I feel like I can do justice to. But generally I'll just holler in the background and hope that I'm heard.
And as far as the group vocals and gathering around one mic, we actually have kind of a direct influence. We have a friend, this band called, at this time, actually, we first met them, we didn't know who they were, but this group called The Wilders out of Kansas, and they were just ripping it around one mic and just having a blast, dancing around. They're so fun.
Yeah,
and that's like, when we were all just like, this is what we're going to do. This is definitely what we're going to do.
Punk rock energy, old time music, and like they were just really, really good at it. They did a lot of honky-tonk and western swing stuff too, but I mean the old time stuff that they were doing was just on fire.
Well, what I've read about the Pertnir Sandstone concerts is that you specialize in getting people completely whipped up into this frenzy. And I haven't been to a Pertnir Sandstone concert. We just sat in on one. It was amazing. We had some spontaneous dancing going on. But when the place is packed, what is it like?
It's pretty fun. I mean, it's, this oftentimes it's music that's like 100 years old or maybe more. I mean, not that we don't write a lot of music, and we certainly play mostly our music, but it's pretty cool when you're playing like an old-time tune that's, been written in the late 1800s, or maybe they don't even know when it's been written, and this, four or five, six, I mean, if it's at home, 1,500 people dancing in this simultaneous massive energy to this really old music. It's awesome.
Yeah, it feels really good. It really influences our playing and just our energy on stage as well. And it has a profound effect when there's that amount of response from an audience. It feels really good. It's one of the best parts about being a musician for sure.
We're talking with fiddler Nate Sipe, banjo player Kevin Kniebel, guitarist Jay Lenz, and upright bassist Adam Kiesling, members of the Minneapolis-based bluegrass band Pertnir Sandstone. We'll be back with more great bluegrass after this break. This is Veronica Rickert, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Veronica Rickert with you here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm talking with members of the Midwest string band Pertnir Sandstone. They joined us in our Madison studios recently to perform foot-stomping songs from their latest album, Paradise Hop. Well, how did you start playing together? Like, obviously, you're friends. That's part of it.
Yeah, we're friends. I've been playing music for a long time. I studied music, and I just met up with Kevin, and we just started picking. Oh, this is a very small side project, just kind of a folk duo.
Maybe Jay's sixth or seventh band at the time.
Yeah, yeah. None of which anybody have heard of.
Right.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Jay and I, back even in school, we would be kind of in near circles of friends anyway, and like end up at campfires, and we'd always kind of collaborate way back in the day. And then, Nate and Jay both played in bands through high school, and at some point after that, Jay and I ended up living in the same house, and I was working a lot and needed a hobby, and I asked Jay if I could find a way to wrangle up some beer every Tuesday, if we could just start picking on the couch every Tuesday, and that's really how it started, was just that. We had a friend join us on the fiddle, who's, also really close to the circle of friends that we're all running with, and he ran into Nate, and Nate's like, "What? You guys are in a string band? Why didn't you tell me?" I don't know if we ever invited him.
No, he was not invited.
No, but he showed up, and he kept coming back, so I think he was probably just implicitly invited.
When did you know that you had a thing, that this was a real band that could go somewhere, and not just some guys drinking on a couch picking? Although maybe you're still that.
Yeah, that's still really what it is, but a little more upscale. I mean, it's kind of hard to say. It really slowly developed. I mean, I was still playing in several other bands, and this was just kind of, we started out doing coffee shops and little bluegrass scene things. And I guess there was a couple of festivals that we got into, and that's when it really started to take off. We're like, wow, this is
people really
something.
Like this.
People
were
going crazy and dancing, and it was just good dancing music.
How you got together, and we talked, Jay, you mentioned you studied music.
Yeah.
What about the rest of you, Kevin and Nate? Where did you learn to play like that?
Well, I started out as the singer and dancer in the band, but not clogging. I mean, this is like, we're talking embarrassing dancing.
quite
embarrassing. More so for me than for them, but it was certainly pretty embarrassing for them.
You'd like to do some now for a web extra?
No. Okay. I hope those days are behind me. But so, you know, we, as Jay said early on, gone to a couple of bluegrass festivals, and that's kind of where we started to feel like, you know, hey, this is, you know, kind of becoming a string band. And Nate had been bringing a lot of old time material to us and really helping us shape our sound. And there's just all this great old time banjo and the stuff that Nate had been getting us to play. And so I bought my first banjo at the first bluegrass festival that we ever went to together. And sat
in my
closet.
How long ago was that?
Oh, six.
Six years ago. 6 years ago.
That's it?
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Well, I mean, when you've got guys like this to try and keep up with, it's some kind of motivation to keep going. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's that's how I found it anyway. You know, nobody else was playing the banjo. My life had been an embarrassment in the band up to that point, and so I thought I ought to try to make something of myself.
Do you love the banjo? I know it's a temperamental instrument, but the first time I heard it live, I almost cried. It's so beautiful. It's a revelation to hear it, and, you know,
not many
I grew up with music.
Yeah, I mean, it's not many people would say that it is their favorite instrument, I don't think. You know, I mean, out in the general population, but the people who do like it really, really like it. And it's definitely my favorite instrument. I like fiddle banjo music, you know, just duos like that. It's real simple and plain and raw, old time melody stuff.
So it's worth all the tormenting you get about your tuning.
Yeah.
No, and we love it. And Kevin actually plays what's called a clawhammer style, which is different from the three-finger style or like a Menards commercial style banjo, which
I think have Menards around here?
Yeah, we've got Menards.
It's from Eau Claire. But
I'll have you know.
but yeah, it's, I don't know, I love, it's fun playing with Kevin, playing the clawhammer style. It's very danceable and groovy. It's kind of, you know, very different from the bluegrass style.
You don't often hear groovy and banjo in the same
sentence. I know,
but
that's weird, but it is. It's kind of, it makes you want to... Yeah. Get down.
Well, that's a good segue to the next song we're going to hear. And this features, besides Women Who Don't Stick Around, a couple of things dear to your hearts, it seems like, whiskey and coffee.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Another one of those true stories about our diet.
But not really 20, right?
Yeah, this one's called 20 Cups of Coffee.
20 Cups of Coffee.
In the morning, one for every beer I had last night.
And that's how it goes in Minneapolis.
That's right. My family's from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, too, so.
All right, well, let's listen to 20 Cups of Coffee.
One, two. All this worrying about what people say. I'll take one more whiskey and I'll be on my way. Well, make that two, I think I'm gonna stay. That white line band, they got a few more songs to play. So I don't worry about what day it is. I'm out all night drinking with my friends. Doesn't feel late, but the sun's already out. Now I don't have any doubt I won't make it without 20 cups of coffee in the morning. One for every beer I last night. Yeah, well, what they say, I'm living my life my own way, and I'm working every day, and I'm all right. Yeah, 20 cups of coffee in the morning, only way I'll make it 9 to 5. Sleep is for the dead, I'm working every day, and I'm all right. Yeah, 20 cups of coffee in the morning, only way I'll make it 9 to 5. Sleep is for the dead, I don't even own a bed. I drink coffee now and then I'm all right. Out there living for today.
out there pulling all-nighters and then powering through the day. Out there working double shifts and you got bills to pay. We only got one life, but live at least, that's what they say. Just call me crazy, call me what you will. I ain't lazy, I just ain't had my fill. Feeling hazy until that coffee spills. It's that first cup of the day and I'm on my way to 20 cups of coffee in the morning. One for every beer I last night. Hell with what they say, I'm living my life my own way. I'm working every day and I'm alright. Yeah, 20 cups of coffee in the morning. Only way I'll make it 9 to 5. Sleep is for the dead, I don't even own a bed. I drink coffee now, says I'm alright. I'm alright. I'm alright. I'm alright. I'm alright. I'm
Oh, who needs coffee with that song? True story, you don't own a bed?
That's true.
Still true. Okay, we need to pass the hat around, you guys.
We have a pretty big van we travel around in.
So before we leave that song, I think we got to talk to your clogger today, John Neas. Tell me a little bit about what it's like to be dancing. You're the percussion section.
Get really close.
Yeah, you sort of get to be the percussion section of a band like this.
Getting real close.
Right.
And you're sweating.
I'm sweating.
I'm just going to point that out because it's radio.
It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. You know?
How did you get going in that?
I actually grew up in it. My dad started a group back in Minneapolis 30-some-odd years ago and did a little bit when I was a kid and then took a lot of time off. And just recently came back to it.
So. Now you call it clogging, but these look like tap shoes, right?
They are tap shoes.
Yeah.
They're a little bit thicker soled than most tap shoes you'd see, but same pieces, same shoes, same tap.
And do you have the Norse wooden 2-inch heel platform
ones at home in your closet? I do have them at home, but they're a lot harder to control. So.
Yeah. When you want to get real old school, you put those on.
Right. All right. Yeah, a lot of waltz clogs, stuff like anything in 3/4 is a lot of fun in those. So.
What is the weirdest meter you've ever clogged to?
Oh, I don't know. I might find out tonight at the show, I think.
If they ever want to really punish you, do they play this song extra fast?
I don't know. Does it go faster than that?
Maybe not. Maybe not.
I don't know if they could ever really get me to run away, but I look forward to it.
All right. Well, thank you. That was great.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Now, when you go down south, because you're touring now, you've been all over the country, enough so that you have no bed, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Do people take you seriously, or are they like, those guys are from Minnesota? You know, do you have your cred?
People loved us when we went down south, actually. Yeah. The people that came out to our shows, they razz us a little bit about being Northerners. You
Yankees.
Know? Yankees.
They still use that word.
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
And but people, once we start playing, you know, it's just kind of all back to that. It doesn't seem to really matter anywhere. So.
Yeah, it just transcends all, I mean, you know, not only generational boundaries, but you know, other cultural boundaries as well, bring people together. It's always been folk music, you know, brings people together, and people that are just normal folks know how to play it, and I don't know, it's pretty central to community, I think. So when you go down and you bring that music, it doesn't really matter where you're from. If they can connect to it, you know, they're kind of open the door.
Thank you.
also really viable, you know, string band and roots music and acoustic music scenes all over the country, everywhere.
Right.
And not just in the South. There's, I'd say, like in, you know, around Nashville and other areas around there, there's more of a traditional bluegrass style of playing the music. But, you know, from Kansas City to Portland to, you know, Michigan, Colorado, like they all have kind of their own take of the music. And there's a lot of, you know, over the past years, us traveling around, we've seen a lot of cross-pollination of a lot of these bands and sounds, and to where it's kind of all this, like, one national music. It's not just south of the Mason-Dixon anymore.
So. That seems true. And on the other hand, a lot of the music that's really successful has this really strong umbilical cord to place. Is yes. that still important to you that you guys are from Minnesota? I mean, forget the idea that you have to be legitimate from the South, which isn't true anymore, but do you have, is there something special about your music in Minnesota?
Yeah, very much.
Or even just
much.
The Midwest?
Very much so, very much. Like Midwest and Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It means a lot. I don't know. We're very proud of Minnesota. And when we travel around, I mean, half our crowds, when we're in Portland or Colorado or wherever, I mean, I'd say sometimes half our crowds are all from Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Transplants, yeah.
You've got that line, Minnesota. What is the line? I'd rather be nowhere else but Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota is where I want to be. It's pretty girls, as far as you can see.
You should have changed that line to Wisconsin when you're here.
I was thinking about that. It just doesn't have the same flow.
Yeah, you're right.
And you just mean the word Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, of course.
Is there something special, do you think, going on in Midwestern music right now? I'm thinking about, you know, you spent some time in Eau Claire, and I know Bon Iver is from Eau Claire, and we've got a big scene in Minneapolis going on. We've had a national stage politically in Wisconsin. I don't know, do you think that the Midwest is sort of rewriting itself in terms of the art scene right now? Maybe just national profile, too?
Yeah, and I think that it's, I mean, culture, you know, like artist culture, whether it's, you're talking about like the seeds of where it starts, like in the educational system or all the way up through, you know, the stuff that we're doing out in the community, trying to bring music to people, I think is always something that's kind of a flashpoint, you know, like you're kind of touching on pretty raw feelings, either through the songs that you're singing or, you know, when you talk to musicians and there's all the budgetary pressure around music education, you know, I don't know. It feels like the Midwest in particular has always been a stronghold for, you know, pretty supportive community around the arts. And I think that that still seems to be true. In Minnesota, we have a really vibrant dance scene, theater scene, great music scene across a whole bunch of different genres.
Yeah.
Food. Good food.
Great food. Yeah. It's a
good nightlife.
Yeah. It's like our Midwestern Renaissance.
Maybe it is.
Yeah, but maybe it's just, oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, I mean, yeah, it's just different from the coasts. I mean, the Midwest is the Midwest, and I think, yeah, people are not hiding from that anymore. Everybody's kind of proud to be from the Midwest, and I think that, yeah, it's, I don't know, something that's kind of made us hunker down and get creative in almost every category. So.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I think maybe with just mass communication, it's easier for people to find out about what's going on around the country. You know, it's, you know, the news now is not that our governor used to be a wrestler, but that there's all this stuff that's happening that's easy to see on Facebook and wherever else, you know, and that wasn't around back then. So it was a lot easier. It was a lot harder for people to find out what was happening unless they ventured away from the airport as they were flying, you know, from Chicago.
The flyover zone.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
We've talked a lot about Minnesota. You guys are from Minneapolis, although you're from Oshkosh.
Yeah, my family's all from Oshkosh. I grew up in Minneapolis for the most part.
You grew up in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And there's a number, your bass player is from Wisconsin as well, it sounds like.
Jefferson. Yeah.
Jefferson,
yeah.
Wisconsin. But it sounds like you have these roots to the old-time music, and I'm thinking about when people have music that gets described as roots-driven, usually there's some kind of elder statesperson who comes along and teaches the young guys, you know, the old craft as it was, and then the young musicians go off, and they reinvent it, and they renew it. Do you have a story like that? Or where do you go for your roots when you're looking for your roots?
Well, you know, I think that we all were pretty influenced growing up with, like, Prairie Home Companion and the other, you know, folk music that our parents listened to and things that eventually we, you know, realized was good music after our rebellious stages as youth.
Yeah, certainly a very strong folk scene in Minneapolis.
Yeah. And as I was going to say, as we started playing music and got more into the, you know, as we became a band, really, we discovered that there's this great music that's been happening in Minneapolis for years, and, you know, since the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, and even before. And we kind of clung onto that and really learned from these people like Spider John Kerner, Pop Wagner, you know, Dakota Dave Hall, all these people who
Bill
are still.
Lee, Judy Larson.
Yeah, all these people who are really active in the scene yet today or came out of the scene in a big way.
That's Nate Sipe, Kevin Kniebel, Jay Lenz, and Adam Kiesling, members of Minneapolis-based bluegrass band Pertnir Sandstone. We'll be back with more bluegrass after this break. I'm Veronica Rickert, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
One, two, three.
I'm Veronica Rickert with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm talking with members of the contemporary string band Pertnir Sandstone from Minneapolis. They stopped by our Madison studios recently to perform some songs from their latest album called Paradise Hop.
It's always hanging around to keep the flock at bay. And it's the sheep's own wool, and it's just so disarming. The poison creeps in slowly till there's nothing left.
Well, Kevin, we got a little bit out of you about your song, Snake Charmer. And the reason I'm bugging you about this is that the guy Joe, who got up and danced, he said the first time he heard that song, and he's a punk rock guy, his tears were streaming down his face. It really spoke to him, and it's a beautiful song. I see that, and your manager said that there was more of a story there. I don't know if you want to share any more. Well, it's just a story of a broken heart.
Yeah.
Time. Story about love.
Yeah, of course, our manager only mentioned that because he's been trying to get the story out of me for a year and a half.
Is this the moment?
I don't think that it will be, but I mean, it's you know, more than anything, just about a very close relationship that, you know, has kind of been painfully splintered, and, you know, kind of the perspective of the person who has kind of been watching the train wreck happen, you know, and saying, go ahead, you know, go ahead and try it on the other side of the fence if you want to, because I've kind of done everything I can, you know. It's a song, I mean, there's a lot of beauty in giving up and letting go, you know, so I kind of think that's what the song's about, ultimately.
You take what you give and make it all that it can be, or you can go ahead and leave, babe, go on and go. You've been trying for years, I've acted like it don't show, but your heavy heart will just weigh you down. Holding out to try to find a little truth in what you found this time around.
Did that song make a difference in the relationship, or was it just cathartic for you?
It was, so it did make a difference in that sense. It was very cathartic for me, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
and don't look to me. Once it's all gone down, I done my time hanging around with my knees pressed to the ground. So you can go ahead and leave, babe. Go on and go. You've been trying for years, I've acted like it don't show. But your heavy heart will just weigh you down, holding out to try to find a little truth in what you found. Truth in what you found this time around.
Thank you.
Oh, that was great, you guys. Well, ladies don't stick around long in the Pertnir Sandstone world.
No, I was just gonna say something about that. Not all of our songs are themed in this way that we've started these first two off.
Well, I was reading your bio online, and it said the band paid its dues in, what was the line, smoke-filled bars and roadside juke joints. Is that code for you've been through a lot of crap? You really earned everything you've gotten? Is that
a
long road?
We've spent a lot of time on the road. We made a lot of sacrifices, and we've slept in ditches and camped. And
you've slept in ditches?
Oh, yeah. Illegally camped and gotten chased out of state forests.
Yeah. One very near here, actually, that was sort of a life-threatening experience. But
wait, what happened?
We leave bars pretty late at night. It's not always because it takes us a while to load up. Sometimes, we are hanging out a bit after, maybe longer than we should. And that leads us to get to these camp spots that we pick a bit later than the office might still be open. And so, we just kind of go in and squat. And, we're good folk musicians, nice, kindly people. So we pay in the morning when we leave.
always plan on paying in the morning. We don't even set up tents. We just throw sleeping bags out in the grass.
Yeah. So a park ranger who was, for lack of a better term, strapped, showed up in his car and noticed these 5-6 guys sprawled out on different sleeping mats who hadn't paid. He knew that. And boy, he was just itching to get a little bit of lip from us. And there must not be a lot of action in the state park because I still remember how badly his hands were shaking. Like literally shaking like a leaf right next to the holster of his gun.
Oh my God.
Asking us questions about what the hell heck are we doing here? Excuse me. Luckily this is being recorded. We can edit that out. So we can't really tell you what he really said because there is maybe some not radio appropriate language, but
a park ranger.
Mm-hmm.
Can't believe it.
We were some of the only people in the state park at the time as well. Yeah.
It was here in Wisconsin?
Oh, it was just outside of Madison. We'll just say that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And
boy.
Trouble here.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of crazy camping stories. I remember another time we went down an ice-covered road. I don't remember. You guys remember what state this is in. One of us.
Southern Illinois.
Yeah, Southern Illinois. No one in this room, but one of us was quite keen on camping in some pretty inclement weather. And so we all had good sleeping bags. We thought we'd stay in the van, let this guy do whatever he want. But to get to where he needed to take the van, he took us down a pretty steep incline that was completely iced over that we almost did not make it back up in the morning.
Whoa.
And he, took his sleeping pad, went 50 yards or so away from the van and slept on this snow-packed. It would have been beautiful, I'm sure. Way too cold for me. But so we've done some really crazy camping.
Yeah, not too many fancy hotels for Pertin Ears hands, don't we?
we've all bled a lot for the band.
Yeah.
Has it been worth it? I mean, you're in the service of music. You sound amazing. You've been on Prairie Home Companion. What, when you have to tally up your gains and your losses, where does it stand?
Yeah, I couldn't be happier or more proud. I mean, some of my best friends in life that I'm able to travel around the country playing music with. What could you ask for that'd be better than that?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I don't know. However long we can ride it, we're just going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty satisfying lifestyle. It's not always glamorous. It can be a struggle, but it's always, at the end of the day, it's really fun to be in the music industry.
And is that kind of the origin of the song Paradise Hop? You could be working a day job, but you're doing what you love?
Yeah, it's kind of about that, and yeah, exactly. Just kind of, you know, throwing caution to the wind and doing what feels right and following your heart in the world. And hope that it leads you to paradise and not the other place.
The place you tried to say and couldn't say on the radio. Yeah.
It'll all be fine. Pull yourself together and try. Slowly coming, horizon's gone dark. Haven't been preparing, but it ain't too late to start. Got up for work this morning, trapped again, it seems. Don't mean that I'll surrender these unforgotten dreams. Hard to keep it steady, but it'll never show. Hanging on so loosely, but never letting go. We're on the backside of a long decline.
so much left behind. But ain't no rear view mirror gonna take us back in time. But I can almost see it.
Well, you said you've had it rough. You've been threatened by twitchy camp rangers. You've been playing smoky bars. But you've also been on a Prairie Home Companion. You sound fantastic. And I'm sure you've got something like 5 albums under your belt now.
Yep. Yeah.
Have you made your mamas proud?
Yes. Very
I think
much.
So. Mm-hmm.
Our biggest fans, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. This was great.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Nate Sipe, Kevin Kniebel, Jay Lenz, and Adam Kiesling. Together, they form Pertnir Sandstone, a popular string band from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Today's show was recorded by Joe Hartke and produced and edited by Marika Suval, with some extra legwork from engineer Brittany DeAnda. I'm Veronica Rickert on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening. 'Cause everything changes.